Last month, we've been going through the Gospel of John in these evening sessions. And last month, I talked to you about a situation where Jesus had a lady pour ointment on his feet, perfume on his feet. And I introduced you to the concept of a doulos. A doulos is the dirty slave in Greek. And the New Testament, of course, is written in Greek. So this talked to us the last time about how the doulos was the person who would look after your feet when you were visited someone. Open-toe sandals, walking on the streets where the camels had just passed you. You can imagine. And the doulos had a pretty rubbish job. It was sort of a pecking order in slaves, you see. And the doulos was the bottom of the pecking order. It was the, what can only be described in the best Queen's English as the mucky slave. So tonight I want to turn you over into John chapter 13 and just read a few verses to you. It says, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now by the time of supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, tied it around himself. Next he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel that was around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterwards you will. You will never wash your feet. You will never wash my feet, ever, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you've no part with me. And it carries on like that. But then it says this, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. That is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. The splashing of water in the bowl. I've got my towel on my waist. Jesus does this on the night of his betrayal. Jesus stands there with a bowl, with water and a towel, and he gets down on his knees and he washes everyone's feet. Who wants to be first? You see, you're all wishing you'd washed your feet before you came out now, aren't you? That's what's going through your head. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't, my feet smell. If I pull my socks off, everyone in the church will collapse.
Jenny's not here,
is she? This is recorded, Sandra, and I'll make sure that Jenny hears that. Karen's waving a leg at me. Now, here's the issue. Jesus says to them, you call me master, you call me Lord, you call me teacher, and those things are true. Yet, I'm getting down on my knees and washing your feet. Last month, we talked about a woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and with perfume because the doulos hadn't done it.
Yes.
Now Jesus is dressing like a doulos. Jesus is getting the bowl out and he's going to do this for his disciples. Splish, splash, splosh. Jesus is going to become the slave. This is very powerful because, you see, right now when Jesus is doing this, he is fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesies about the suffering servant. It's a lot of the book of Isaiah that Jesus starts to fulfill at this moment in time. Jesus gets down on his knees and wipes Peter's feet. You know, forgive me if I'm wrong here, but Peter was a fisherman. I mean, man alive, you don't want his feet, do you? I mean, they'll smell to, oh, man alive, where's he been stood? And yet Jesus is happy to wash the feet of his disciples. How powerful an image is this, that the master becomes the doulos. That the Lord God, as it were, becomes the dirty slave. I'm not even honestly sure as I'm saying these words to you that I can properly comprehend them. How does the Lord become the mucky slave? How does he do that? How powerful an image is this? One which Jesus left for us to always remember him by. John, when he completes his gospel, he says, "These things are written so that you may believe." And I could have written a lot more, but I'm not sure there are enough books in the world. But John tells us this, that we might believe that the same Jesus that we started off in John chapter 1, who you remember was creator, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing that was made without him. That creator, that divine God, becomes man and moves into our neighborhood. And what's more, he comes and washes our feet. What a God. What a Jesus. How amazing a Jesus who will wash our feet. He will do what no one else is going to do. You would have thought a week earlier when this woman anoints Jesus' feet with perfume and dries them with her hair and he says this will always be remembered of her. You would have thought that a week later his disciples, when they're feasting, would at least one of them would have got down and washed his feet. Come on, how short a memory do they have? How short a memory do we have? Do we? Yet Jesus says, as I have done for you, you must also do. And, you know, some churches you go to and they have foot washing services. I want to give you some assurances. We're not planning to bring that into our program. But some of you, you know, sometimes we see these things and I've known people who said, oh, I went to a foot washing service, it was wonderful. Well, if you pardon me, I'm quite happy where I am. But ultimately, we mustn't lose the point here. We mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We must understand what Jesus is saying. He is saying is, I, your Lord, have served you. You also must serve me, serve each other. Now, there is this one other comment at the end of what I read to you, where it says, he who has lifted up his heel against me. It's nothing to do with me. Lifting up your heel against somebody is a very strange Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic concept. It doesn't really equate in English these days. But it simply means if you betray someone. It means to be treasonable in your action to them. It means to do that which lets them down badly. And this raising up your heel, Jesus says it as he is just taking off his clothes from washing their feet. Don't think for one minute this is coincidence. This is planned by Jesus. He says, I am washing your feet, but there is one amongst you who has raised up his heel against me. And you know something? Jesus isn't looking for those who will raise up their heel against him. If we're talking about that today, we would just say it's someone who would turn their back on God, someone who would turn their back on Jesus, somebody who would seek to do him harm, do his name harm. But Jesus isn't looking for that. He's looking for people who will serve. And you know something? This is the weirdest thing of all. If as a church we put on a leadership conference, we'd have it booked up very quickly. Leadership conferences sell out. They really do. I've been to leadership conferences. They're always packed, wherever you hold them. But when you hold a servanthood conference, you run it by yourself. Because nobody wants to be a servant. Nobody wants to be a doulos. Nobody wants to wrap the towel around themselves. When we first planted this church 13 years ago, the group of leaders that we had at that time, we sat around a table discussing whose responsibility things were. And I asked them, I said, which of us is responsible for cleaning the toilets? And without a question, everybody around the table said, me. You know something? I don't want to clean toilets. But when your heart is to serve people, you will clean toilets. In a previous life, when I used to be a retail manager for PC World, I was sent to a certain store not too far away from York where they were having problems, and they asked me to go and deal with them. And the first day, the staff were very, very dubious about me. Saturday morning, Saturday, the biggest day of the week, massive turnover. Everybody wants to work Saturday because there's lots of commission to earn on a Saturday. And that day, this lovely middle-aged woman came up the aisle walking with her son, holding her hand, who promptly threw up all the way down the digital media aisle. So if you wanted a pack of blank CDs that day, it was the wrong day to go into PC World. And I was left with an immediate predicament. What do I do now to make sure that I don't have a drop in sales? Because, I mean, we had these electronic counters going all the time, ratchety, ratchety. Everything's counted up on the tills. We can look at a moment, any moment in the day I could look and see exactly what my turnover was on all product lines. And I'm thinking, I've got to watch this, what do I do? And I just did what I thought was natural. I said to two salesmen at the opposite ends of this aisle, I said to one of them, I said, hey, go and get me that sign that says cleaning in progress. Get two of them, one for each end of this aisle. And the other one, I said to him, go get me a mop and a bucket. Now, the one who I said, go and get the two signs, he went happily to go get them. The one I said to him, go get me the mop and the bucket, he says, I'm not doing it. I said, I just told you to go and get me a mop and a bucket. He said, I'm not doing it. I said, what's wrong with getting a mop and a bucket? He said, you want me to mop it up? I said, no, I don't. I've asked you to go and get me a mop and a bucket. So reluctantly, he goes, gets me a mop and a bucket. Now, I would never have dreamt of asking my staff to mop up vomit. You see, actually, I got a badge that says I am qualified in mopping up vomit. I'm really good at mopping up vomit. I've had four children, one of whom used to vomit a lot. And I know how to deal with vomit. So I was there with these aisle cut off at each end, mopping up the vomit. Absolutely wonderful. Rinse the mop into the bucket, absolutely dry, we're absolutely safe. I said to the guy who brought me the mop and bucket, would you mind going leaving that outside and later on I'll wash it out? He looked at me, gone out, went and put it outside. The day went on. At the end of the day, the manager has to wand out all the staff. Electronic wanding? just to make sure you haven't got a computer in your pocket. All wanded. And there's a queue of people waiting to be wanded. Except, of course, they weren't waiting to be wanded. They were just waiting. So I said, what's wrong with you? Who wants to be wanded first? They said, oh, hang on a minute. We want to talk to you. I said, what is it? They said, we wondered about you. We know they'd sent you in to sort us out. But we just want you to know, we reckon you're all right. And whatever you want in future, we'll do for you. And you know something? I never had another minute's problem in that branch. And it was my first day as well. Never had a minute's problem. Because I served them. I mopped up the vomit. You know, why should anybody else do it when I was the one in the room with kids? Most of them were not old enough to have kids. You know, it was a very young staff. Why should I expect anybody else? You know, when it comes to life with God, Jesus is calling us all to serve each other, to do that which is necessary. But he's only asking us to do that because he did it first. And there was one thing we couldn't do. Maybe you couldn't mop up vomit, I don't know. I bet you could, Jane, couldn't you? I bet you've done some, haven't you? Absolutely, yeah. If you think I'm qualified at mopping up vomit, Jane is really qualified. But do you know something? There was one thing that I couldn't do. I could not mop up the problems that my own life had created. But Jesus could. I couldn't save myself from the consequences of my sin and my failure. I couldn't do a thing. But Jesus could. And what's more, he did. And in the next few hours, as Jesus is arrested and tried and punished wickedly and brutally, and then crucified and dies, Jesus pays the penalty for my sin, the stuff I couldn't do. You see, he really served us. Our God is not a God who just says, come and worship me. He's a God who gets down, gets his hands dirty, does this thing for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, and then he's ready to worship. You know, truthfully, honestly, Jesus is the best doulos I've ever met. The best mucky slave. His towel must have been, you know, I imagine it was brilliant white when it started and it was a very mucky brown when it finished. All of those feet, but Jesus did it because he was pure, he was clean, and he was the only one who could die in our place. And you know something? I think that's amazing. I really do. So Jesus became a slave, even though somebody tried to take a treasonable action against him, kick up his heel. Jesus did the thing that was necessary, that was right. And because of that, tonight, we can all know him, know the peace of God in our lives, and actually get on with life wonderfully. Would you like to just bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, we come to you in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus. The Lord, the Master, the Teacher, who became a dirty slave, washing much more than the dirt off our feet, washing it off our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what price you paid so that we could walk with you. And we just ask you tonight that you would quicken this truth into our lives, that we might really know you and be confident in your love, one who has given himself for his people. We ask this in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, I just want to invite you tonight. If you've never really made a decision to walk with Jesus, if you've never, maybe you don't even really get what this is all about, but if you've never made that decision before, but tonight you have suddenly realized that Jesus has done something for you and you'd like to get to know him better, then while every head is bowed, no one's looking other than God and me, then I'd just like to invite you to just raise your hand quickly and take it straight down again. God will see it, I will see it, no one else will know, but it will just be a sign before God that you are prepared to follow his son Jesus. Is there anyone tonight? 3, 2, 1, anyone? Thank you. Father, we bless you for Jesus. We bless you that there is a place where we can go and wash, a place where we are made thoroughly clean. Tonight, may we all know that cleanliness. May we all know your love and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.